you know, Booney was on with Talking Yanks podcast with Jake and John Boy.
Mm-hmm.
And we get the news earlier, whatever they were talking about, Luis Gil coming back. He was talking about John Carl Stanton potentially being used in the outfield. And he didn't really commit to it. But saying they're trying to get Stanton out there, taking some grounders, whatever. We know he can't play the outfield. Problem's going to be when Judge comes back, it's going to be as a DH, at least primarily as a DH.
Yeah.
Like, he can't throw. I don't think that's going to get better in 10 days with this issue. Maybe it does get progressively better as the weeks go on, but he's going to need to DH, if not a lot, at least some.
Mm-hmm.
So when that happens, then what with the Yankees? Having Judge the DH, now you're going to have Stanton out of lineup, and that kind of defeats the purpose.
It's just more of the same. More of the same issues. Really, that's the best way to describe it. We've gone down this road a million times. This is nothing new. This is just a horrendously built roster.
Not a horrendous team, just
a horrendously built roster.
The way they're constructed, and I really do think the move to get Stanton after 2017 was the one that just roadblocked so many other potential moves, whether it be Bryce Harper or Machado, or just having guys being able to use the DH spot to be healthier or rest more with Aaron Judge. Just a roadblock that to me isn't worth it with John Carl Stanton. Years later, he's only gotten worse. He never stays healthy himself, and when he is healthy, he can't run or field or throw or catch. Like, just a disaster. Anyway, dude, Rhino, how sad was that yesterday?
That popped up.
Yeah,
Ryan Sandberg was, you know, one of those names that, you know, he was a big part of our childhood. He was an amazing player at a position, number one for a team that never won. You know, they made the playoffs a couple times there, Rick Sutcliffe, those teams, obviously, but they never won a World Series, you know, at that point. So, yeah, you felt their plight. I think I saw them so much against the Mets back in the day and also on WGN because that was also like their, you know, you get free Cubby games.
Yeah, I remember the Braves more on TBS when I was younger as opposed to the Cubs. Did you remember the 84 season probably more so than I do with Sandberg?
Oh, yeah.
MVP that year.
Talking about the Tigers. The Tigers won the World Series that year. Tigers, and then that was the, did the Cubs lose to the Padres in the
I believe so.
Pennant there? I believe it was.
I remember more 89 when they lost to the Giants in the NLCS.
That was the earthquake.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the earthquake was in the World Series with the A's and the Giants, but the 89 NLCS, I believe, was the Cubs. Anyway, Sandberg, to your point, like that was one
good
of the guys.
Player.
You know, I would collect the cards. It was Sandberg, Boggs, Puckett, Mattingly, Doc, Darryl, but Rhino was always one of my favorites from afar. And dude, just a great, great ball player. I watched a, you should really watch this. It was on the MLB app.
Mm-hmm.
There was like a 6-minute clip of highlights and all that stuff to go over Sandberg's career. You know, and his life, the way that everybody did with Hogan here.
Yeah, for
last
sure.
Couple of days. So they did that with Sandberg. And the one thing that he said was respect. That's the reason why he was a Hall of Famer. Respect. He played the game the way it was meant to be played. He respected the game. Played his ass off. Ran the base as well. Gold Glover. Perennial All-Star. Hit with power. Hit with average. Just one of the all-time great baseball players.
And definitely one of the all-time great second basemen.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why he jumped out to me. At that point, you had a lot of first basemen, you know, some outfielders obviously doing damage, Mike Schmidt over third base. You know, you had some, his shortstop was still fairly lean in terms of having a potent offensive player, and so was second base. Like, you had a lot of guys. I mean, Willie Randolph was good, but Willie wasn't like a banger. Lou Whitaker was a power guy at that point, going back to the 84 season with the Tigers, but Ryan Sandberg was a staple, and I just pulled up his stats as a point of reference here. You know, you'd have to really have lived through this period. You know, you just had the Manny Trios and the Larry Boas and the Bucky Dents and guys who didn't hit a whole lot. Second or shortstop, and 19 triples one year, 114 runs scored, OPS 890, 870, 809, 855, 912, 865, 881, 40 home runs one year. I don't think he was juicing. You know, a lot of hits. Just a fantastic player. And you're right, ball player. He could drop a bunt. He could hit one 400 feet. He could turn a double play. He can go first to home on a double. Ball player.
You know, and for
and classy,
me,
Sal.
From, yeah.
You know what I mean? Classy.
For me, those were the type guys. This is why I'm such a harsh critic of the Hall of Fame. And we didn't discuss the Hall of Fame together yesterday. I know you did some of it last week.
Mm.
I didn't want to get into it yesterday because first of all, I don't even care about it at this point anymore. I like having the conversation when guys are up on the ballot or potentially getting in.
Yeah, that's the fun stuff.
Yeah, as far because that's just debate stuff. It happens once a year. You do it, you move on. You forget about it. The speeches, I'm sorry, but they don't do anything for me.
I still watch them, but I got you.
Maybe certain players would, and maybe there'll be a time down the road that they would. But like even with Piazza going in, didn't I don't care about the speeches. Ichiro, I saw some clips, whatever, Sabathia. But the real reason is because, and I hate to say this, I don't want to say anything negative, I don't think CeCe Sabathia is a Hall of Famer. And I certainly don't think he should be a first ballot Hall of Famer. So that's why I wouldn't make a big deal about it. But my point about Sandberg is when you watched him play, even from a young kid's perspective, watching the opponent, when the Mets would go to Wrigley,
yep.
I remember they were in the same division, so they played
saw
a lot back then. Exactly.
Saw
right.
them a lot.
It was a big deal.
Leon Bull Dorm at first base. 100%.
All those guys. Vance Law was with the Cubs for a little bit.
Yep. Steve Lake, I think, was behind the plate.
Jody Davis was a catcher.
Yeah, so.
Anyway, Andre Dawson, when he was there for a little bit, there was no doubt that Sandberg was the guy on that team that struck fear in you. And he was a clear, you know, just a Hall of Fame. Like, you know it when you see it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There was never a doubt. It wasn't like as an 8-year-old or a 9-year-old, I'm running around saying, oh, he's going to be in the Hall of Fame one day. But you know the impact that player has when he comes to town or when your team's going there.
Yep.
That, to me, is a Hall of Famer. And obviously, he did that throughout the course of his career. But that, to me, is what should feel like a Hall of Famer. When you're watching it, you just know, uh-oh, Cubs are in town, or the Mets are in Wrigley. Watch out for Rhino because he's going to do some damage. And then he did do damage.
Yeah.
That, to me, is a Hall of
Famer. Yeah, well said. Or then you rip open a pack of cards, whether it's 84, 85, 86, and you pull out, you know, the Donnies, the Puckets, guys like that. And then you pull the Sandberg. You feel like you pulled the top piece of real estate with some of the other best players in the game. And you got to go back. So for me, 84, you for more 89 with you with the vivid you know, recollection of Ryan really as a player. But, you know, to me, we were not desensitized by steroids yet. So when you see a second baseman banging 20-plus home runs and, you know, a lot of extra base hits, and one year he had 40, and he's skinny, he doesn't look like a jacked-up, you know, inauthentic superhero, it just really shows you that he, you know, that was an era where there were just more baseball players. And I know we sound like the old guys, get off the lawn, I get it, unk, okay, great. But there's so many guys. I actually got that list. Like somebody, because I was complaining about Luka Doncic being in the Yankee booth.
You get called Unk?
Yeah. It's the first time I ever got called Unk. Unk!
That's ridiculous.
Unk! But no, Sandberg was an A to Z baseball player. Rest in peace. Great player.
And the consistency. You know, 314, 305, 284, 294, 290, 306, 291, 304. Like, just the consistency, even the numbers that you mentioned before, whether it's the stolen bases, always there, the ribbies, the strikeout numbers, that's something that is lost in today's game by even some of the best players, the consistency that Rhino has.
Now, we do have to revisit one comment that you made about CeCe. Okay, so I don't think he should have been first ballot. To say that CeCe Sabathia should not be a Hall of Famer is absolute lunacy.
Yeah, maybe the numbers, I don't know, man. I have a hard time with it. I guess I never watched him and thought, surefire Hall of Famer. I loved him with the Yankees. He was a bulldog. He's a guy who's not afraid to throw up and in or get into it with somebody, specifically the Rays. I know what he did in 2009.
Yeah.
I think there was an overinflation on CeCe because he was a Yankee. And I certainly don't think he should have been a first ballot. And maybe that's the part that bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, I think he's better than Messina, sure.
I
was having
so
this conversation with John Harper yesterday at SNY. Because who was it? Oh, Sunday Night Baseball. The Sunday Night Baseball broadcast with the Mets were on it. And Ravitch was talking about how David Cone should be in the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, come on. And then I had this conversation with Harper. And he goes, dude, Cone probably more of a Hall of Famer than Messina. Maybe. But I never once watched David Cone. While I acknowledge how great he was with both the Mets and the Yankees.
And Toronto.
Big game
and
pitcher, Toronto. Certainly. 100%. I get it. Royals before the Mets.
Yeah,
I understand it. I'm saying close here with the Mets and Yankees and different type of pitchers with the teams.
Mm-hmm.
Clutch performer. I never once thought I was watching a Hall of Famer with David Cone. Now, you want to make the argument because CeCe and Mussina are in and maybe some others that he should be? Fair enough. But to me, watching Mike Mussina, I never thought it was a Hall of Famer. Watching David Cone, I never thought he was a Hall of Famer. And just Sabathia overall, I don't know if I could say he's a Hall of Famer. I don't look at him on the level of Randy Johnson.
Well, he's not.
Or Pedro Martinez.
He's not.
But so then, like, what is there, a part B of
the
whole thing?
Yeah, I know. That's where we get into the, you know, those semantics of it. And I'm with you on that. Although, I told you guys this before the show, the stat that jumped out to me, there's three lefties in the history of baseball over 3,000 strikeouts. One is the big unit, one is Steve Carlton, one is C.C. Sabathia. But no, I don't look at CeCe the way I look at those other two. So is he a first ballot? No. Should he be in? Yeah. I've become a little softer with this as Baines gets in and some of these other players. Mm-hmm. But the thing about David Cone, and you know, and I agree with you on Mike Mussina. I never thought that Mike Mussina was a Hall of Famer. That was always my thought on him. David Cone to me, and I'm just thinking about all the pitchers from the time I was young up until, you know, basically when he retired. And that includes the Docs. And that includes the Darlings and the El Cids. And, you know, the Yankees didn't have a lot of great pitchers when I was young. But obviously, Guidry, like in the 70s before I was, when I was really young. I think, to me, David Cone. I mean, now El Duque was big game and, you know, some others as well. Pettit, too. But I felt the confidence with David Cone taking the baseball in a big game. I would put David Cone up there. Now, I'm not saying quite Pedro Martinez.
Right.
But to me, David Cone was as high as you could get.
Okay, so
he was fearless and he was filthy.
Okay, so I would rather have guys like that. And again, I never watched him and thought Hall of Famer, but maybe I was a little too young to appreciate some of the better years that he had specifically with the Mets. Whatever, fine. Big game pitcher, absolutely. I would rather have the guys like Mattingly, Puckett. I know Puckett got in, but again, there was some argument there. David Wright, Jacob DeGrom. I don't know if he's going to be a surefire Hall of Famer, but like, even if guys do it for a shorter period of dominance, I'd value that more than I do the longevity of very, very good as opposed to great.
Now, that's a really interesting thought, because from a fan's perspective and just evaluating the Hall of Fame, I probably agree. I think that's a way that I've looked at it as well. And, you know, you give me four or five. If you give me that sixth year, then you should be in no matter what. But you didn't really get six all-time seasons from Mattingly. You got really like five. But if you go four or five all-time seasons and then something happens, you get like Bo Jackson, you get hurt, David Wright, Don Mattingly, I would prefer that in terms of Hall of Fame candidacy and imprinting the game myself. But if I own a team and you say, hey, you get to draft this, whether it's the first round or the 20th round, like Mattingly, right? And you say, all right, you're going to get 4 or 5 years, and this guy's an old-timer, and then the next, you know, 5, 6, 7 years, you're going to piece it together, he's going to be hurt, he's going to lose his power, his profile's going to change. I think, I really think I would prefer somebody who's more consistent for 12 years but never hits the apex of a Mattingly or, you know, a Bo Jackson, because if you give me 10, 11, 12 years and you're consistent, that's what everybody talks about. Like, the greatest talent is being available.
Yeah, I guess that's a part of it. I'd value the dominance more. Just looking over some of Sabathia's numbers. I mean, the ERA, dude.
What, 3.6, something like that? Was it 3 change?
Career 3.74. Like, I'll tell you, from a Yankees perspective, or even just in general, and I've had this argument for a while, I would put Andy Pettit in the Hall of Fame based on not only his career, but more specifically the postseason. Dude, Pettit was the ace on the Yankees dynasty teams. If talk about a big game pitcher, Andy Pettit, to me, because of his success in the postseason, should be a Hall of Famer, more so than, in my mind, at least Mussina, certainly, and maybe even C.C. Sabathia.
Yeah, I'm looking at this, too. So, obviously, he's got the one Cy Young there, another top five, another top four, another top three, another top four.
Talking about C.C.?
Talking about C.C. Yeah. And then you get to 2012, obviously, with the Yankees, makes the All-Star team. But his final 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 seasons, 0 top 10 Cy Young finishes. Honestly,
he was a compiler.
He was. And I could listen, when you win 60% of your games, I mean, that's legit. You won a championship in 09. You won a Cy Young with the then Indians. I get it. There's really a couple of different ways to frame it, because if you didn't watch him pitch, like, take somebody like Don Sutton. He compiled, right?
Yeah.
And I remember Don Sutton at the end, like, I think with the Angels and vaguely with the Dodgers, vaguely. But I think Don Sutton came up in the 60s. I didn't even really see him in the 70s. But if you look at Don Sutton's stats, you're like, you know, all right. But because I want the 3-4 seasons out of five where it's 21 wins, 20 wins, 2.6 ERA, Cy Young, All-Star, you know, 2.92, 1.97. Like, I need a couple of all-time seasons in there. And the thing that I would say about CeCe, with all due respect, I don't see one all-time season. That's what I don't saying. See one well, all-time season.
The only argument you would have would be the year that he won the Cy Young.
But was that an all-time season?
I mean, 241 innings, a lot of
freaking
innings.
Dude, his ERA was 3.21.
Well, you're making the argument for me.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I see it both ways.
And I'm also not trying to disparage him. I think he's
not
a great guy. And I'm
great
happy.
Guy.
I'm happy for him. I'm just saying, me personally, is why I didn't want to talk about it, because I feel like, he shouldn't be a Hall of Famer, and then it's a negative thing where I really don't want to do that. But I would value, like, I think CeCe got in because he was a dominant ace with the then Indians.
He was.
Then got traded to the Brewers, and because he won the World Series in 2009 with the Yankees.
That's huge.
But look at Pettit.
Yeah.
If that's the argument,
yeah.
What about Andy Pettit? He won 5 World Series with the Yankees, for goodness sakes.
Was he ever the ace, though? You think about it. Was he ever the ace? Was he ever the true ace?
What, you're talking about big picture baseball dominant?
Yankee teams, like 96, you had Jimmy Cannon. He got rocked in 96 in game one. Andrew Jones took him deep twice. I think the final score was 12-1 that first game. You had Jimmy Key on that team. You had Coney on that team. Then you get to the El Duques and the David Wells and the Clemens. I'm not saying Pettit wasn't great. Was he ever the without question ace of the New York Yankees championship team?
You have one game to win, life on the line.
Yep.
Pettit or Sabathia?
I'm going to go with Pettit.
Yeah, me too.
I'm going to go with Pettit.
So if I think that, then how can I put one in the Hall of Fame and not the other? To mention Mussina, who I wouldn't even have in my rotation if there's a big game to win.
Yeah,
and I like Mussina.
Mussina used to drive me nuts.
He was very good.
He was soft, dude. When he didn't defend, when the Yankees got drilled, when Soriano and Jeter got plunked by Pedro to start that game, hospital, x-ray, and Mussina did not throw with the Red Sox, I never respected him again.
And CeCe's the opposite.
And
a great personality, which I also think helped get him involved.
No question about it. Oh, quick one before you get the call. Would you rather have Dwight Gooden's career or CeCe's career?
Yeah,
because
that's a great
because
point.
This kind of gets into the gist of what we said before with Mattingly and Puckett.
Well, who do you think? I'd probably rather have Sabathia's career, but I think Doc at his best, untouchable. One of the great seasons in the entire history of the sport.
No doubt.
Now it wasn't just because of injury like David Wright or Donnie Mattingly.
It was because self-inflicted
some
shoulder issues,
thing
too.
With Doc,
no, I know. I mean, think about this. So,
Who do you think's a better pitcher? At their peak, Doc or CeCe?
At their peak? Yeah. Dwight Gooden.
Right, okay,
at their
course.
Peak, there's no question.
So why would then...
At his peak, Doc was better than almost anybody, but maybe Koufax
so don't you think that
Pedro
that would...
and Maddox and 5-6 others in the history of the game at his peak?
Then don't you think that would tell a better story for the Hall of Fame, saying, like, this guy was one of the best pitchers ever?
Yeah.
Tell the whole story.
Yes, but then you look at the whole 15-year, whatever it was, bouncing around, 7 or 8 years where he just did nothing. It's a tough call.
BT and Sal on the Fan. The BT and Sal Show on the Fan is presented by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers. Cadillac, the official luxury vehicle of the New York Mets. Sal is calling from Garfield about his Yankees. What's up, Sal? All right. John is calling from Orlando. What's up, John?
Hey, guys. Love the show. Hey, BT, like you, I am just sick and tired of seeing the same old stuff every single night, same old garbage with the Yankees.
Every year, really.
Now, with the deadline, it's every year. You're absolutely right. But with the deadline coming up and putting bullpen help aside because they need all the help in the world with the bullpen, but Judge is 33 years old. He's not getting any younger.
Mm-hmm.
How about looking at trading Dominguez and maybe some other prospects to bring in a Steven Kwan? Who's now available.
I love Steven Kwan. He came up the other day. I mean, I think he would help anybody. Steven Kwan knows how to get on base. He's a hell of a fielder. He can run. He's played some playoff games, a couple against the Yankees. Steven Kwan's a baseball player, man. There's no doubt.
You need more of those.
You need more of them. Now, what's his contract at? I'd have to double check that. Would I give up Dominguez? I mean, I'd like to see Dominguez in center field for 3 months before I render my final verdict on Jason Dominguez. Can I, it's like having the hottest prospect and your best prospect is a third baseman and he's playing second base. Just put him where he's supposed to be so I can get the intel that I need before I can tell you if I would move on from
the guy. But don't you think that tells you that they have the intel that they wouldn't put him in center field? I'll tell you is this. I can't watch him in left field. I'm not saying he's not passable, but watch him play left. Now, in comparison to Bellinger, anybody is going to look bad in left.
Yep.
But he's just, it's not like he's on skates. He's just, he's walking.
You know what he is? He's mechanical. He's robotic. He's not flowing. He's not flowing out there.
He just doesn't look comfortable.
I agree with that.
Slow to the ball, making sure he's not overrunning anything. He just doesn't look like a confident, comfortable big league outfielder. I don't know how else to say it. I mean, anybody with a pair of eyes can see that. Or like you said, Cyclops might be able to see that as well. We were talking about, just to finish up the Hall of Fame conversation, you brought up Tim Lincecum during the break. We were talking about DeGrom looking over those numbers. Those guys, to me, I don't know how you properly judge it. They're going to do whatever they want to do. Voters do what they do. Just for me, I would value the dominance of a Lincecum, even if it's a shorter period, or DeGrom. And who knows, DeGrom's still going strong here, obviously, this year. And maybe he's going to be a surefire Hall of Famer. I have no idea how they're going to vote. But I would value that shorter-term dominance more so than I would the longevity. And you brought up a great point before, the impact that, say, Doc had on baseball versus Sabathia.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a question. Like, Doc had a much bigger impact than Sabathia did.
Yes, I agree with that. The only other thing, again, to be fair to see, not that you're trying to be unfair, and I have no problem. Yeah. I think CeCe should be a Hall of Famer, just not first ballot, whatever. But I wonder if he pitched his whole career here, would we view it differently? Like, what did I see him pitch in an All-Star game once as a Yankee? I think it was once.
With the Yanks?
Twice? How many times?
His last 7 years, he was not an All-Star. None. That's a long time to go without being an All-Star.
That's almost his entire 30s. I think from the age of 31 or 32 to 39, or pardon me, 38, no All-Star games for CC.
Sabathia was a Yankee. Right? You know, he was an All-Star with the Yankees three times.
Was 10, it three times? 10, 11, I thought it was 12. Twice. Okay, my bad. So, now, I didn't mean to shortchange him.
He was a legit ace. You know, obviously, he won the Cy Young, but he was a legit ace in Cleveland for multiple years. Then when he got traded to Milwaukee, he was a dominant ace. Like, I remember, though, he was even better with Milwaukee than he ever was before, you know, in the whatever, how many games
he
started.
Hit a home run, too. Remember, he used to hit a home run with the Brewers.
Yeah, right, not bad with the bat.
Yeah.
I like Sabathia. I just don't know about the Hall of Fame stuff. And then I bring in Pettit because of what he did in the postseason. But overall, I would value, you know, by the way, I'm just looking over another guy that came to my mind, Fernando Valenzuela.
Oh, Fernando. Fernando Mania. I was wild in the early 80s. My goodness. I lived through that. You missed it in real time. It was insane.
So how come he's not a Hall of Famer?
Well, he pitched forever.
Okay, but think about it. Cy Young.
Oh, yeah.
Rookie of the year.
100%.
81 World Series
champion.
Six-time All-Star. Gold
six
glove.
Of them, huh?
Yeah.
Really? Let me get his numbers up. Six.
Because it made me think of it because you brought up, we were talking about Lincecum, and then you brought up Doc and the impact on the game.
Yep, and Lincecum went back-to-back, by the way.
Right, with the Cy Youngs.
Yep, Fernando. He came up in 80. Fernando Mania was wild. Cy Young, Rookie of the Year, 81 World Series, Gold Glove. All right, well, that's not going to get you in. So, like, what happened when he trailed off? He must have crashed.
Yeah, okay, he did, but still. Look at the dominant years that
one,
he would have.
One, two, three, four. Six straight All-Stars.
Right. Dude, those are six straight dominant years.
Yeah.
He's throwing almost 300 innings. 285, 257,
almost
272.
Almost a 500 pitcher, though. He only won 53% of his games. It's kind of low.
All right, but we're looking at wins now as the...
No. I'm winning percentage. 53% is pretty... CeCe's over 60.
Yeah.
That's a big jump.
Career ERA, even with the fall-off. What was Sabathia's? You have it up there?
I think you said 3.7 change.
3.5.
Yeah, 3.5. Hey, pitched in the NL, so... A little Baltimore stop, but primarily in the NL.
And Sabathia had 3.7 ERA.
Before the DH, so his, favorably, it's going to affect his stats more so than CeCe. Steroids, did they really impact Fernando?
Mm.
He retired in 97, so yeah, he was hit. He was hit with that in the early 90s, I would imagine. CeCe a little less.
Point is, though, BT, like, when you talk about, can you tell the story of Major League Baseball without, like, I think Fernando should be in the Hall of Fame.
I actually think, Sal, I haven't thought about Fernando in a little bit here. I think Fernando Valenzuela, like Fernando Mania, I honestly think that might be the first memory I have of anything pertaining to baseball.
Right.
Even the Mets were horrible, even though my dad's a Mets fan, they stunk that year. The Yankees were 79, what were they, in 80? I mean, 81, of course, they lost the World Series. Right. But I think the Fernando stuff... Like this week in baseball cards, pre-Mattingly, That was unavoidable. It was as big a phenomenon as you can imagine.
Was that Fernando Mania was before Hulkamania, right?
Yes, absolutely.
It was, right. 81, 82. Obviously, Hulkamania was 84, was born.
Yes.
That was a huge deal.
It was big.
Now, I'm not sitting here saying I watched every single game and he was the most dominant, but at that time, he was dominant for the shorter period. I would value that. Like telling the story of baseball in Cooperstown at the Hall of Fame.
Yep. It's Fernando, it's
like
an
Mike
interesting
Mussina,
way to look at it. Yeah,
Don Sutton.
Yeah. Well, think about this too, and this is where Pettit should get more respect. If your numbers are borderline, but you're part of a dynasty, I mean, or at least an iconic group of teams.
Yeah.
I mean, Fernando played with Steve Garvey and Ron Say, and I mean, come on, man, look at that Dodgers team was really real. Tom Lasorda was the manager.
Yeah,
it's an iconic unit there. And he had the crazy windup. Do you remember what his pitch was? What his out pitch was? Do you remember?
A screwball?
Yeah, it was
Fernando,
screwball.
Yeah.
Yeah, Scroogey.
Yeah. I mean, look, not to go off on a tangent about Fernando Valenzuela,
I mean,
the whole fan, but it's a fun conversation. And I actually didn't even know. I had to look it up to make sure he wasn't in. And I almost don't even trust myself. I'm like, how is that possible that he's not in?
I didn't think he was in.
Yeah.
But I hadn't looked at his numbers in a while.
All right. Nick is in Red Bank. What's up, Nick?
Hey, Nick.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Good afternoon. Just wanted to touch base. I know you guys were talking about the Hall of Fame, and I think rule of thumb, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but the Hall of Fame requires 10 years of playing to be able to get into the Hall of Fame. Now, if they shorten that down to 6 years, don't you guys think the Hall of Fame would start to get, like, saturated pretty fast?
I think it's already saturated. And why would they shorten it? Why would they shorten it? I mean, 10 years, I mean, that should be the standard. Do you mean have 10 good years or just play 10 years? Play 10 years, right?
Yeah, 10 good years for the most part.
10 good years, you're in.
Yeah, because my example was like Tim Lincecum, like you guys mentioned before. Awesome ace. He had the nickname The Freak for a reason. I think he won a few Cy Youngs.
Back to back.
I think he can always go down as a San Francisco great, one of the greats of the game. But the Hall of Fame is just like the durability and longevity of being good for as long as you can be.
See, I don't agree with that, Nick, and thank you for the call. That may be their standards or the writer's standards. I would not look at that. To me, the Hall of Fame is not being durable and being as good as you could be as long as you could be. It's being dominant in the sport. Now, I'm not going to say that you got to be dominant for a year or two. It's got to be 5, 6 years. Maybe 5 is the cutoff there. I mean, I have a hard time. Now, I will admit that I might be biased based on my age, but how the hell is Don Mattingly, who dominated the sport, not a Hall of Famer? Fernando Valenzuela, again, to keep it out of New York, dominated the sports for an extended period. You're talking about 5, 6 years.
Keith. I mean, if you're going to say Donnie, I know you want to get out of New York. You got to say Keith, too.
I would argue Donnie was a more...
Donnie was better than me.
More impactful.
I agree with that. But again, I was Keith 5 and you were born the year he won the MVP in St. Louis.
Right.
I mean, 79. Co-MVP, Willie Stargell. That's right. Yeah. Look at you slipping in the co. Correcting me. You're right. Hey, you still want it.
Yeah, agreed. And then the World Series, like, that has to be a little maybe cherry on top. It's why, like, Pettit to me would fit the Mussina mold, if not for the dynasty. And I watched him in big games year after year after year. That damn stare. I hated it as a Yankee hater.
That big schnoz, the little, we talked about little 5 o'clock shadow, that glove right under his eyes.
Opening day, we talked about it with Pettit when we had him on.
I know.
When we were out there. So, but I would value that. I think that there has to be certain criteria in the regular season, the dominance, and then I would also have the postseason be a big factor.
Well, think about it this way, and I can't, half you're a good music guy here, if you think of a good song that might fit this criteria, by all means, enlighten us here. You know, if you're a band who pumps out an all-time one-hit wonder that, like, goes either number one or top 10, but I mean an all-time transcendent, like a wedding song, like, I don't know, Gloria Gaynor's, I don't know if she's got other songs, whatever. And I don't even think she's a one-hit wonder, but a one-hit wonder that gets that goes platinum, that one song, versus a band that never has a top 10 single but pumps out 4 or 5 really good, and in terms of volume, often sold records and albums, or however, CDs, whatever,
right?
Downloads, what's the better career? Well, the apex for the one-hit wonder is here, but the consistency and the continuity for the other is different. It kind of comes down to what you prefer.
Yeah, I guess. I value impact more. Hoff, you have any thoughts?
He's just staring at
us. I do.
This.
Well, yeah. I could barely hear, so yeah. No, I would say that the longer career is the way to go, because you have that Hall of Fame, they have that wing of, hey, here's all-time hits, all-time this, so, you know, most home runs in the season, whatever it is. But to be part of the Hall of Fame, to have that long career, I mean, I think that that's better And for music wise, one hit wonder is garbage. You can be in a
like Hanson, for example.
Hey, oh God!
Well, Hanson had the one hit.
Boom bop.
That was a great one. Yeah,
three girls. They looked great.
Well, no, the three Hanson.
You like that song?
It was a great song.
Boom bop.
They still sing it today. And think about this.
Think about that song, but
they're like 40-year-old dudes now, right?
Yeah.
They still have to sing that song. Nobody cares about any other song, but they go on stage and they have to play that at the end of their show.
That impact, I mean, that song had a major impact, even 30 years later. Mbop. Couldn't name you another song from there. And give me a group.
Yeah, another one?
Now, I don't know. From Hanson, I couldn't name you another song. Mbop would be it. But think about it. If I'm referencing that song 30 years later, and I know I'm not alone, like that song made an impact. Love it or hate it, you knew the song.
I'll tell you, he doesn't make many contributions. But when he makes them, sometimes they're worthy of bringing to the air. This one might be the best one of all time. What about Survivor? Eye of the Tiger.
Right. Did they have another hit?
Nothing else.
Yeah.
Eye of the Tiger.
Right. I love that song. It was Hogan's first entrance song, wasn't it?
I know it was. Before Real American.
Yeah.
But think about the usage
impact
of that song.
Rocky.
The symbolism of that song. But they had nothing else. So, again, would you rather have that place in musical history or Def Leppard with no number, even though Def Leppard was phenomenal, and I love them, but that's not a good example, but no number ones, but four great albums. I don't know. It depends what you're looking for.
I think to be in the Hall of Fame, at least in baseball, I can't speak to the music. Like, I wouldn't put Hanson in the Hall of Fame because of Mbop.
No, I agree. That song was horrendous.
But if you have 5 years, like, one hit wonder is different than, like, R.A. Dickey shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame because he won a Cy Young 1 year.
I know that. Mattingly's not a one hit wonder.
Yes, I know.
Yeah. We're stretching the boundaries. I'm just trying to prove points there. Remember that song? I don't know why I remember this is a one hit. My sister used to love this song, and I finally saw the video. I'm like,
Spice Girls?
I kind of like this. No. My sister's too old for that. Tony Basil, Mickey. You ever hear that song? Oh, Mickey, you're so fine.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. Hey, Mickey.
You ever see the video?
No.
It's not bad.
Cheerleaders.
Not bad.
Yeah. All right.
It's not bad. That's all I'm saying. It's not bad.
For 1982.
Somebody say it was good. What's that? Oh, yeah.
For 1982.
I think it was 82. I think you're right. I think you got the year.
Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Let's get Alex and East Quaggin, BT and Sal on The Fan. What's up, Alex?
I haven't called in a while because Tibbs got fired, so I really didn't have a whole lot to say. But I just saw a pig fly by my house because I find myself agreeing with some of the things that Sal says about the Yankees. I think they need an organizational overhaul, but they're the type of organization that will never do that, of course. Their scouting, their player development, and their coaching stinks. Listen to these ages and stats. Austin Wells, 26, he's hitting .214. Ben Rice is 26, he's hitting .229. Will Warren, with an ERA close to 5, is 26. Volpe, of course, goes without saying. Clark Schmidt, who became a good pitcher, is 29. Luis Gil is 27. Cam Schlittler, he's 24, but his breaking ball is in double A. I think he needs to go back down. They overvalued some of their players. I mean, the great Martian, he's hitting .258. This goes to the fact that their player development stinks. They either draft players who they think are going to be better than they are, or they draft good players and they develop them cruddy.
Couldn't have said it better ourselves, Alex. Good call there. In case you missed anything, check out on the free Odyssey app. We've done a lot today, BT. A lot of the trade talk early on. Got into some NFL, of course, the neighbor situation. Luckily, it seems like everything's okay with his shoulder. Done some Hall of Fame stuff as well. So we've been had a variety of topics.
Well, it's a good time of the year. It's a good time of the year because there's optimism with the Jets and the Giants. Obviously, we're going to get some alerts throughout. So-and-so went down, waiting results of an MRI or the imaging, whatever. That's football camp for you. We're used to it. But the Jets and the Giants are around the bend. The Mets right now are playing really crisp baseball. The Yankees are not, but they're certainly interesting to see where they go. So there's a lot of stuff on the table. Let's do it.
We've been together for almost exactly 2 years. It might have actually been a little over 2 years. Matter of fact, my mom wants to buy us lunch. She gave me the money.
I love you, Mom.
Yeah, she's like, oh, did they do anything for you? I'm like,
did they do anything? No. Yeah, they didn't take the key fob away.
Yeah, they let us in the building. But she gave me money over the weekend when I had her.
Are you serious?
Yeah, she's like, buy BT and everybody lunch for the anniversary. Because she knows, you know, she keeps track of this.
Yeah.
What I was going to say is, in the 2 years that we've been together, we've had the Mets and Yankees miss the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
We've had the Mets and Yankees go on incredible runs. We've had the Knicks go on great run. We have not
Rangers
had,
went on a big run.
Rangers go on a big run.
2 years ago.
We have not had
Johnny's
big run. Yeah, good point. Yeah. Another one. There's obviously been a lot of other fun stuff in there. We've had some deaths, whatever it may be. Yeah. We have not had the Jets and Giants have any modicum of success.
Yeah.
That's the one thing that we have been missing. I know we as a whole in New York sports, but you or I have not had a chance to talk about anything good with the football teams here.
I'm dying to be able to do this, man. I am dying to be able to come in here on Mondays, you know, after Jets and Giants wins, and Fridays coming off a win a few days before that, anticipating the next day.
Yeah.
Rather than lamenting, all right, who do we have to bury today? Who do we have to get fired? What quarterback do we have to look at to draft? I mean, what GM's got to get bounced? What owner's a mess right now? Like, it would be really nice to do that. And again, without overstating it, I am bullish on the season for both of these teams to an extent.
Right.
I'm not talking about, like, playoffs or 12 wins. I'm talking about just giving us a competitive brand, much more buttoned up from a Jets perspective. Yeah. That's for damn sure. Just the penalties and all that stuff. And just, you know, giving us enough to sustain our football fix, which has been on hiatus for too long.
Yeah, man. I'm looking forward to it as well, hopefully. And like you said, success doesn't mean playoffs for either team. It could just mean having a first successful year for the Jets, building it the right way, showing promising signs of developing under Aaron Glenn. And then for the Giants, you know, seeing a competent offense to go along with maybe an exciting defense.
Think about this.
That can win some games.
We've had DeVito, which was a cool local story, but the DeVito, we had the Carl Banks stuff, we had the Kayvon Thibodeau stuff.
Zach Wilson, the unkillable because Rodgers gets hurt. It's been about Rodgers.
Beningo and Sala with the text. Jesus, what a circus, dude.
It's been bad. Firing Sala, should they bring it back? Should they not? Same thing with Dable. Uh-huh. The planes flying over MetLife Stadium. It's been ugly. Woo. Please, just give us a decent football season. All right, BT and Sal on the field. Let's finish up on the folds. Austin is calling from Tom's River. What's up, Austin?
What's going on, guys? So I just wanted to talk about the Mets real quick. I've watched about 95% of the game. I probably missed 10 games total this season. And personally, I think it would be a mistake for the Mets to trade for anything other than pitching right now. When we think back to the beginning of the year, our pitching was so locked in. It kept us in so many games. We could be up by one or two runs, and you know, we just felt like our pitching was going to do the job and hold down the fort. You know, fast forward to more recently, I know that obviously we're coming off a seven-game winning streak, but, you know, just the struggles as of recently, you know, one or two runs, it doesn't feel the same. Like, are we going to get Brazoban from last night where he's, you know, coming in the game and he's, you know, giving up a bunch of runs and mistakes, or, you know, are we going to get...
You can't trust him anymore.
No, you can't. And listen, I think put McNeil in center. He's a good center fielder. I've seen him make great plays. Mm. I don't think it makes sense to trade for Robert Jr. because McNeil does a good job at center field. I don't think you're picking up that much.
Austin, Robert's a legit center fielder.
Yeah, he's elite.
No, he's a legit center fielder, yes. But I think that our problem is in the pitching.
Why are you just limiting to one? You don't think they get bullpen help and add Robert? They absolutely can.
I think we need more bullpen help than I think we need fielders right now.
I would probably agree with that.
Me too, right? Yeah.
But it doesn't mean you can't do both just to make sure that you kind of check every box here.
Yeah, I mean, what's the limit on what the Mets could acquire here? I don't think it's unrealistic. I'm not saying go get Alcantara, Robert, Presley, whatever from the... from the Cardinals.
We talked about him before.
I want a legit bullpen arm. That would be my priority. Maybe two bullpen arms. It's realistic to think they could get another bullpen arm. They already added Soto. Now, I still want two myself.
Meaning two more plus Soto or one plus Soto equals two?
Two more.
I don't think you're getting that.
Maybe not.
That would surprise me.
But I at least want one dominant bullpen arm at the very least, and maybe I'd like another one too, and then you push everybody down.
I thought you meant two dominant. You might get that.
Rarely coming back. Yeah, one dominant and one more guy that, like, I don't know, I could push Garrett and Brazoban and Stanek down. Uh-huh. Rarely Soto, Diaz is good. They're missing one more legit piece. I think it's realistic to expect one high leverage, dominant bullpen arm at the very least, and a center fielder. I don't think that's unrealistic.
No, it's not. It shouldn't be unrealistic because, number one, you've got an abundance of players who are young and controllable, and there's some redundancy in some of the positions like Beatty and Vientos, and so you certainly have a surplus. I'm not saying you have the best system in the majors, but it's pretty good. It's more fruitful than it's been. So you've got some interesting young players who are cheap that other teams would want. And you've got an owner, you know, in terms of biting off $20 million, what remains of the contract this year for Robert, $20 million next year. He could obviously absorb that. We've seen it before.